Every so often, I'm in total awe at the things that are part of our faith that connect us to our ancestors, things that are ancient. It really is amazing to me that some things that we do today goes back 5,000 years. The feast of Corpus Christi is one of those feasts where we are connected through generations and generations of our ancestors. That first reading that we read, the Passover in the desert. What we are doing today, isn't it amazing that what we are doing today has its origin so far back in time, and it feels amazing to be part of it in some way, to have the privilege to be connected to it. The Feast of Corpus Christi as we know it today, in the early church, this day was called Natalis Calicis, or the birth of the chalice. And here is what the church, early church, was trying to do. So the Lord had the Last Supper on Holy Thursday. But Holy Thursday always fell during Holy Week. So the entire focus was on the Passion of the Lord and on the death of the Lord, and then of course the resurrection. But the day on which Jesus gave his body and blood, that particular day, Holy Thursday, did not get the importance that it should. And hence, at least in the beginning of the church, that day came to be known as the birth of the chalice. Now, as time went on, the church felt the need to give special importance to what Jesus did on Holy Thursday. And hence the beginnings of what we call the Feast of Corpus Christi. In the late 20th century, there was a nun by the name of Sister Juliana of Mount Carnelian. And she had a very special devotion to the sacrament, and she took it on herself. She saw a vision. And since then, just took it on herself to make sure that this devotion developed. And then, of course, in the year 12,064, Pope Urban IV declared that Corpus Christi be an annual celebration to take place the Thursday after the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. And because Thursdays, you know, are not solemn days, the church then moved it to Sunday after Trinity Sunday. And hence we now have this feast we call the Feast of Corpus Christi. It would not be an exaggeration for us to say that without our faith in the real presence of Christ, so we are not people who believe that what we do here is something symbolic. It's the real deal. I think it would not be an exaggeration for us to believe that without our faith in the real presence of Christ, in the body and blood of Christ, that Catholicism would be dead. Our church, our worship, our faith, and our life, indeed our entire life, is based on the reality of the presence of Christ in this bread and wine. And so I think it's so right and fair that we set a day aside to celebrate what Christ did for us on Holy Thursday. And because this is so important, this feast has also some very serious practical implications for us. And I just want to talk about three of those implications There's plenty. This you can draw any amount of practical implications from this feast, but I just want to draw attention to three things today. First, I want to talk about presence. This feast, in its most basic way, is a celebration of presence. So just this afternoon before Mass, I was with a family who had lost their father, grandfather, of 93 years old, right? They called me after he passed away, Donald passed away. And before they could take the funeral home could take the body away, they wanted me to bless the body. Now, this man has lived a very, very good, holy, and wonderful life. But the family standing around, just grieving. Why? Not because they are relieved that he's no more in pain, but it's the presence. His physical presence is gone. Monday, I'm going to go home and touch and hug and kiss and love my parents, right? It's about the presence. This feast is really about presence. If you have lost somebody that you love deeply, you understand the meaning of presence. This feast is the feast of Jesus' continuing presence with humanity. This, in spite of the fact that humanity treated Jesus so brutally, in spite of that, Jesus continues to love humanity. See, this is why we say God's love is unending, unfathomable. In spite of what we did to the Son of Man, Jesus chooses to be present to us. Jesus could not stop loving humanity. Jesus could not stop loving everyone and each one of us. And because this is the feast of presence and God's enduring presence to us, I think this feast is humanity's way of expressing its gratitude to God. Thank you, God, that you're present to us. Not in some symbolic way, not in some flimsy way, not in some uncertain way, in a real, real way, God is present to us. So this is the feast of the celebration. It's a celebration of humanity who is grateful to God that God chose to continue to be present to us. So let our worship today, our singing, our worship, our communion, may it be an expression of our gratitude, our sublime gratitude to God. Secondly, I think sometimes we forget that what we do here is actually be at a meal. This is about food. In my homily last week, which you did not hear unless you were here for the 6 o'clock Mass, I called myself a foodie. And anything to do with food, including food in religion and in church, I love it. And I get it. Food is dear to my heart. And Jesus, before he died, what did he do? He had a meal with his disciples. Now, the reason I'm bringing the meal up is because in modern society, and particularly in American society, I think the meal has lost its place. People eat, and when I first came here, I was shocked, really. People ate meals on their work table. They ate meals in the car. They ate meals standing up. Sometimes I've even seen people eating food in the restrooms. Right? I think we've forgotten what it means to sit down for a meal. Our lives are so busy that even with the people we love, we do not have the time to sit down and have a meal. It's not very important. And add to that the influence of the fast food industry. I think the fast food industry has essentially rendered family kitchens useless. And I think nutritious food is a pursuit of the elite. It has become that way. Right? Now, there's a connection to the fact that we do not take the time to sit down and have a meal with our families. There's a connection, I think, between that and the Eucharist. Do you know that only 26% of Catholics today believe that it is necessary to go to Mass every Sunday? And I think there is a correlation between the loss of the meaning of a family meal and the fact that people don't think it's necessary to come for this meal. If we do not have the time to sit down and have a meal with the family, how is it important to sit down and have a meal with God each week? The Feast of Corpus Christi is an invitation to sit down and have a meal with God. And it takes time. Sit-down meals simply take time. The feast is an invitation for us to take the time to be with God. Not just at our family meal, but here at this table. Talking about the meal, this is my third point. You've heard the saying, you are what you eat. And this saying could not be more true than about the Eucharist. As Catholics, we believe that the church becomes what she eats. The church becomes what she eats. We eat the body of Christ, and then we become the body of Christ. That is why in Catholicism, we honor Jesus not only in the Blessed Sacrament. Yes, this is very important. But we honor Jesus in the community that is gathered. And I think sometimes we completely push that aside. Everybody wants to worship Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. But we forget that Christ is always also present in the community. Do you remember in the olden times when the priest used to incense the altar? And then after the priest incensed the altar, somebody would incense the priest. And then they would go and incense the community. Everybody would stand and it would incense the community. Do you know why? Because that is an expression of recognizing Christ in the worshiping community. That's why we incense the community. Christ is present in the community and in every person that is present there. Folks, Christ is present in the worshiping community and indeed in every person who participates in the one bread and the one cup. And this has implications. What does that mean? It means that Christ has chosen to be present to the world, not only in the bread and wine, but in every Catholic. So if you today received communion and wherever you went, you might as well say the tabernacle is present there. So, where are you going today? For a meal after this, maybe? You're going home to work in your yard? I don't know what you're going to do. But if you have received the body and blood of Christ, You become a walking tabernacle. Christ has chosen to be present to us, I said in my first point. Christ has chosen to be present to us, not only in bread and wine, but in each one of us. It means that you and I are the sacraments of Christ. This means that we treat each other with the same reverence that we treat the Blessed Sacrament, because we are what we eat. We eat the body of Christ, and we are transformed into the body of Christ. So today is not only the feast of what's on the altar. Today is the feast of also of the people who sit in the pews. It is our feast, because together we are the body of Christ. What a great feast. And it's all part of God's eternal plan. So as we celebrate this Mass, and as the Father sends the Holy Spirit to transform this bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, and as we receive communion, may we be caught up in this awesome tradition, this awesome practice, this awesome work of God's plan of salvation, and be grateful from our hearts for what God has done for us, for God being present to us. People of God said, Amen.